beginning at verses 97 to 104. And as we come before God's word, let's remain seated and unite our hearts in prayer. Holy Father, as we come before Holy Scripture, we humble ourselves before Thee and before this, Thy holy, living, inspired, and infallible Word. We recognize that with our own natural powers, that we cannot come to an understanding of divine mysteries. But we thank Thee that we are not alone, that the ascended Christ has poured out upon His Church the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so we pray that the Spirit who first inspired Holy Scripture will here and now be with us, being our teacher and leading us into the fullness of truth. Open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things in the pages of Holy Writ. Hear us, O Thou great Jehovah. Amen. One of the promises that we make when we become members of the Church of Jesus Christ is to read and to meditate upon the Word of God. But what does that mean? To read and to meditate upon the Word of God. And in any case, why should we do it at all? These verses in Psalm 119 give us answers to these questions. They tell us what God's Word is. They tell us also how it is to be used. And they tell us why this Word of God is able to make a difference to our lives. We begin then at verse 97, where the psalmist begins with this exclamation, "Oh, how I love your law." He is speaking here of the Word of God, and he calls it the divine law, the law of God. What we have in our hands in the pages of Holy Scripture, this is not an opinion. This is not speculation. This is not even suggestions. This is the revelation of divine will. And because it is the divine will, it is the law of Almighty God. It is the unveiling of truth, and it is the description of reality. And when we go against the law of God, we do not hurt the law, but we rather hurt ourselves against that law. And when we go against Holy Scripture, we withdraw from reality and begin to live in a world of fantasy and make-believe. This then is the law. It tells us what truth is, And it gives to us the accurate and the perfect description of reality as it actually is. But you notice that the word law is in the singular. It is not the laws of God, it is the law of God. All of Holy Scripture is one, and it is the gift of God to His people. And they come together and they form one law of God. Yes, they have different parts to the law, but they are not different laws. They are the one law of the one lawgiver who is the living God. And there are different parts to this law, and they are described in different ways. In verse 98, he speaks of the commandments of God, and these are the positive orders that God gives to His people. And in verse 99, he speaks of your testimonies as His meditation. And these are not commandments, but these are rather descriptions of what God has already done for His people. And then in verse 100, he speaks of your precepts, the directions and the regulations that God has given to His people. And then in verse 102, he speaks of your judgments, God's executions of justice in the past that remains the norm for us in the present as well as the future. There are then the different parts of God's word, but they come together to form the law of God. They tell us who God is. They tell us what the will of God is. And they tell us the witness of what God has done in the past. And they give to us the prophetic word concerning what God seeks to do in the present as well as the future. What is this that we have in our hands? It is the law of the living God. How are we then to use it? He says in verse 97, it is my meditation all the day. But he begins with these words, oh how I love your law. And in verse 103 he says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Here was a desire for the Word of God. Here was a hunger and a thirst for the righteousness that comes from the Word of God. And if you and I are Christians, you and I ought to be a people with an appetite for the Word of God. You and I should desire it. You and I should find it to be sweeter than honey, even honey from the comb. You and I should prize it. You and I should treasure it to be more valuable than all the gold that this world can offer. It is to be desired. But then we see it is to be meditated upon in verse 97. It is my meditation. And again he speaks in verse 98, for they are ever with me. To meditate, you need to read. And so he assumes that those who are the people of God would read the Word of God. Because it is our desire, we resort to it. And we not just read it, but we meditate upon it. And that is to say, we think upon it, we think deeply about it, and we cogitate over it. But in the Hebrew, I think it goes even deeper than that. When we open the pages of Holy Scripture, with the right spirit and seeking the blessing and the help of Almighty God. God, through His Word, speaks to us. And then when we begin to meditate, we are thinking over the Word of God, and we are speaking to God in response to that which He has already spoken to us. God speaks to us, and then when we meditate, we speak to God in response to His divine initiative. And you notice when He is doing this, in verse 97, He is doing it all the day. It is good to do it in the morning. It is good to do it again in the evening. But the Word of God should be so fully with us and so fill our minds that throughout the day it is teaching us, it is feeding us, it is nourishing us, and we are thinking about it and savoring it. And this is why at the end of verse 98 he speaks of the Word of God and he says, "They are ever with me." And that is a reference not to his enemies, but rather to the words of God. "For they are ever with me." When he goes to sleep at night, it is the Word of God that keeps him company. When he rises in the morning, it is the Word of God that speaks to him. And all of his life is saturated with the Word of God and governed by the law of the Almighty. What then should you and I be doing with the Word of God? We should be desiring it. We should be meditating upon it. Not just allowing the Word of God to speak to us, but we should use the Word of God to speak to Him in response to that divine speech. And then we see thirdly that the Word of God is to be obeyed. In verses 100 and 101 he says, "I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts." It is good to desire the Word of God. It is even better to meditate upon the Word of God. But it is imperative that we obey the Word of God. When God has spoken to us, we speak to God words of consecration. We commit ourselves to Him to live in obedience to His Word. And so the psalmist says, "I have understanding of your Word because I obey all that you have taught me." And there is a cycle to this obedience. For he says in verse 101, "I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word." The more we desire the Word of God, the more we shall meditate upon it. And the more we meditate upon it, the more we shall obey it. And then we shall discover that the more we are obedient to the Word of God, the more we begin to understand the Word of God. And the more we understand the Word of God, the more we begin to obey it again. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ meant in John chapters 14 and 15. When he looked at his disciples and he said to them, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And if you keep my commandments, my Father will reveal his will to you." The old theologians used to speak of the necessity of holiness in the Christian ministry. That teaching is not very popular anymore. But when Dr. Andrew Bonar became minister in Glasgow, he wrote in his diary, that the greatest need for the Christian church was the holiness of the Christian ministry. For a long time, I have struggled to understand what Dr. Bona actually meant. But now I do. It is only a minister who is obedient to the Word of God who will get enlightenment from the Word of God. And it is that holiness that produces the enlightenment. And it is only with that enlightenment that any preacher is qualified to preach at all. And so, here was the psalmist who desired the Word of God. He meditated upon it. He obeyed it. And because he obeyed it, he experienced the enlightenment that came with it. And finally, there was blessing and success in verse 104. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. I am kept away from every false way. Now, the way of falsehood, of lies and vanity, in Scripture is a reference to every way that is antithetical to the Word of God. And because the Word of God is truth, everything that is outside the boundaries of the Word of God is the way of falsehood, of lies, and of vanity. And so the psalmist tells us here that the more he obeyed, the more understanding he received. And the more understanding he received, the more he desired and he meditated and he obeyed. And the more he obeyed, the more blessedness he received. He began to hate every evil way. What is the Word of God? It is nothing other than the law of the Almighty God. How is it to be used? It is to be desired. It is to be meditated upon. It is to be obeyed. It is to be used for our enlightenment as well as for our blessing. And there, can I just pause for a moment and let the Holy Spirit search your heart and let him search my heart this evening too. As you and I are in the presence of God, watched over by the angels in heaven, you and I have taken promises as members of the body of Christ to read the Word of God and to meditate upon it. Is that what we have done? Is there a desire for the Word of God? Do we meditate upon it day and night? Do we obey it? Do we find enlightenment through it? And have we experienced the blessedness and the success that comes with it? But thirdly, why is this Word of God to be used? What happens if we do not use it the way that God has ordained for us? We are told in verses 98 onwards, he says, "For your commandments make me wiser than my enemies." In verse 99, "I have more understanding than all my teachers." In verse 100, "I understand more than all the ancients." The ancients there refers to those who are older than us. And because the older you get, it was assumed that you were wiser and more knowledgeable. And so he speaks of these receptacles of knowledge and of understanding. These who were his teachers and these who were his seniors. And he says, Your word has made me wiser than my foes. It has given me more understanding than my teachers, and it has given me more light than those who are older than me. What is he referring to here? The verbs that he uses in these three verses are different, but they belong to the one cluster. And it is the cluster of wisdom. He speaks of wisdom, of understanding, and of knowledge. And he says, I have this more than all these other people. And if we should ask, what is this wisdom? I think the testimony of Holy Scripture is quite clear. This wisdom is the knowledge of the way of salvation. His enemies who persecuted him as the anointed of God, they had this knowledge, but they had no wisdom because they did not know the way of salvation. And because they did not know the way of salvation, that is precisely why they were persecuting the man who was the anointed of God. And these teachers who studied the word of God, as well as the traditions of the Father, they were the ones who had missed that way of salvation. And these ancients who ought to know the law of God, they too missed the way of salvation because they knew the word of God, but they were disobedient to that word. And so the psalmist says, I find myself in an outstanding position. I have more knowledge and wisdom than my enemies, because you have revealed them to me. I know the way of salvation. I know the way to the living God. I have more wisdom than my teachers. I know the way of salvation. And I have more understanding than those who are older than me, because I know the way of salvation. And I hope that you and I who are here this evening, that we are not content to say that because we are older by age, or perhaps older in our spiritual walk, therefore we are wiser than those who are younger than us. That is simply not true. Wisdom comes with obedience. Wisdom comes from the meditation of Holy Scripture. And wisdom comes from seeking the word of the living God. The psalmist was a relatively young man, but he looks at God and the gift of God in Holy Scripture, and he says, I am wiser than my foes. I have better understanding than my teachers and my elders, because you have showed me the way of salvation. What is the word of God? How is it to be used? And why is it to be used in this particular way? And perhaps listening to all this, you are saying, how can you make such astonishing claims about this book? How can you make such tremendous statements about this ancient book? Why this book and none other? And why this ancient book and this sacred text and not any other book of any other religion? The psalmist gives to us his answer, and he gives it to us in a very, very powerful way. This is how he puts it at the end of verse 102. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. Did you notice that? It is not your word that has taught me, but you, O God, you yourself have taught me. And then in verse 98, look at it carefully, he says, you through your commandments. It is not that this book makes us wise, but this is the medium that God has chosen to use. It is God who makes us wise, but it is God who uses the medium of Holy Scripture to make us wise. And let me say this quite carefully, that for those of us who are in the Reformed Church, this is a vital distinction. Because we have so often misunderstood what the Word of God is, and we have confused God with His Word. The Word of God is the medium, but God is the source of wisdom. Wisdom begins with Him. It does not begin with the Word of God, it begins with the living God Himself. Let me put it in a slightly different way. You and I are only reading Scripture properly and accurately if the written Word is leading us to the living Word that is Jesus Christ Himself. The purpose of the written Word is to lead us to the living Word that is Jesus Christ Himself, so that when you and I open the pages of Holy Scripture and we approach with humility of heart, and God by His Spirit is teaching us, we come face to face with the risen and the regnant Christ. It is Jesus Christ who teaches us. He uses Holy Scripture, but He is the teacher. And that is what makes this book so remarkable. And this is what makes this book completely different from any other book. Because behind and beyond the pages of Holy Scripture stands the living and the Almighty God. He speaks through this, but it is His speech and it is His voice. And you know, when we begin to look at it that way, then when we begin to read the Bible, Jesus Christ will walk out of the pages of Holy Scripture. He will meet with us. He will speak to us. And we will feel His touch. And we will begin to experience His comfort. These are not dry words. It is the living person who speaks to us through Holy Scripture. And so my prayer for you as well as for myself is that you and I will have a deep sense of respect and reverence for the Word of God. Not simply because it is the Bible, because of the God who stands behind the Bible. That you and I would desire it, you and I would meditate upon it, you and I would humble ourselves before it, you and I would obey it, and you and I would experience the blessedness of it. Robert Murray McChane is one of the more fragrant names in the history of the Scottish Church. And he passed away only a few months before the great disruption of 1843. He lived during the times of contention between the evangelicals and the moderates in the Church of Scotland. He longed to see revival, and in his own parish in Dundee, he saw much fruitfulness during his time there. But only a few months before Robert Murray McChane passed away at such a young age, he wrote these words in his diary, that the church in Scotland will never experience the blessing of Almighty God until she learns to sit as a student under Scripture instead of standing as a judge over it. And may I dare to suggest to you that the problem with our churches and all the churches is that we have educated ourselves into imbecility, and we have stood in judgment over the Word of God. We speak about it, we debate over it, without the fear of Almighty God within our hearts. Until we pray and cry out in repentance, our lives are going to be marked by spiritual weakness, physical sickness, and death. And our churches too. May God Himself humble us before His grace. Amen. We conclude by singing from Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And we are singing here verses 100 to 104. Psalm 119 at verse 100. In understanding I excel those that are ancients, for I endeavoureth to keep all thy commandments. My feet from each ill way I stayed, that I may keep thy word. I from thy judgments have not swerved, for thou hast taught me, Lord. How sweet unto my taste, O Lord, are all thy words of truth. Yea, I do find them sweeter far than honey to my mouth. I through thy precepts that are pure do understanding get. I therefore every way that's false with all my heart do hate. Psalm 119, verses 100 to 104, and we stand to sing to God's praise.
Hey,
oh,
acknowledge constantly that Thou and Thou alone can teach us from Holy Scripture, that all our natural powers are insufficient to understand the divine mysteries, and grant us humility, and grant that we may begin to see the powers of the worlds that is to come. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.